We're going to learn Daf Samach Dalet and Masechtas Ksubas. We're going to start from the seventh line from the top of the Amud. So on the top of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, the seventh line down, the Gemara starts Amud Rav Tubi Bar Kisna. So, right, so we were talking about the sugya of Meredes. The last sugi that we just did right on the top of the Omid, because it is Daf Samach Dalet, was talking about if, in fact, she's a Moiredes, which means she deserves to get divorced and she really doesn't, she loses her ksuba eventually. So the Gemara says, the Gemara adds one little, the Gemara's last point was that what if she took certain items that she was not necessarily entitled to, whether or not she gets to keep it. So that was the sugya that the Gemara brought down right beforehand, but we're still in the topic of Meredes and the concept that as long as she doesn't do what she's supposed to do in the marriage, that reduces the amount of her ksuba. So on that, the Gemara starts, Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel, Koisvin Igeres Mered, Al Arusa. We can write the fact that Bezdin can actually write down as a fact that she was a Meredes, so we write it down in a letter, and these can even apply on an Arusa. What do we mean by an Arusa? So that means that there was a girl who was supposed to get married, and she decided not to, and she refused to get married. We'll see what the Gemara exactly says what the case is, but that's the basic concept. So the point is that we could even write it down to make it official, even if she's in the Arusa state, she doesn't even have to be married. However, on the flip side, the Gemara says, Ve'en kois v'nigeres married, al shemeres yovo. But we would not write that same letter as an official statement if there's a situation where there's a girl who is subject to Yibum and she refuses to do the Yibum. And again, we'll see what the situation is, whether the Yavam wants to, whether the Yavam doesn't want to, but let's assume for simplicity's sake that the brother wants to do Yibum and the girl doesn't want to do Yibum. So that's where, so theoretically she's refusing to be in a marital situation. Still, the halacha is, according to this statement, according to Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna, we would not, in the name of Shmuel, we would not write down a letter that she's considered a refusnik. So, the Gemara therefore asks, Meisvei, says very clearly, Achas li arusa v'nesua, whether we're talking about somebody who's engaged or even married, afilu nida, even if she's a nida at the time, again, as we discussed earlier in the Masechta, that we saw that even somebody being an Ida, there's a difference between when you say I refuse versus halachically you just can't be together. Even if she's sick, and of course it adds a case over here that she's a shemeres yavam, which is the situation we just talked about where she's neifel liyibum, and she says and she refuses and she doesn't want to be and she doesn't want to go through with the marriage. So we see that they're all the same. They're all in the same boat. She's considered a meredes even in that situation, even in a shemeres yavam situation. So the Gemara says loy kasha. So the Gemara now finally explains that there's a difference between kan shatava hu, kan shatava he. Okay, so very simply, it depends on who is asking that they should consummate the marriage. If we're talking about that she is the one who's asking, that, and he refuses, she wants to do Yibum and he's refusing, so that we do not write Igeres Mered. We do not make that into a big situation. Whereas when he wanted to get married and she's the one who's refusing, so then that's something that we will document. Why? What's the difference? The Amar of Tachlifa Bar Avimi, Omar Shmuel, that's exactly what it says. Tafahu Nizkokinloi. If he's the one who wants to get married and she's refusing, then we do listen to him and we write it down. Tavahi, if she's the one who wants to get married, ain't niskokin law, we do not have to listen to her. Well, she has the right to demand, and we should push him a little bit, but we're not going to make it official. You know, again, we'll ask him to take care of it, we'll push him a little bit, but we're not going to write it down as if it's an official document in Bezin. And we'll see, Rashi over here explains, we'll see based on the Gemara later, what's the difference between him and her? Why do we pay more attention? And the simple reason, again, that Rashi gives right now, is that he has a chiyav pruu revu, and she doesn't have a chiyav pruu revu. So since he has a chiyav, so he has the right to say, listen, I gotta do what I gotta do. I have a mitzvah involved over here. That's why we're getting Bezdin involved. Whereas with her, okay, so if she's not married, it's not the end of the world. That's the very simplistic, oversimplistic reason between the two. But Let's wait for the Gemara to flesh this out a little bit. But what are we saying, Lahad Shmuel? So what are we saying the case of Shmuel is that we listen, that the reason why we listen by an Arusa but we don't listen by a Yavam? Bishatavahi, the case has to be, right? If we want to make that distinction and we want the case to be that by the Yavam we're not listening, we're not making a big deal, it has to be that she's the one who's asking to consummate the marriage. And that's why, okay, since it's her that's asking, we don't push it too hard. So that has to be the Bishatavahi, where she is the one that is asking to go through with the marriage. So the Gemara says, one second, that's a problem. Because if you look back at exactly what Shmuel said, so Hay Koisvenigeres Mered al Arusa, it says that we write about an Arusa, which certainly implies that we're talking about the Arusa is the one who's making the trouble, and we gotta fix that out. Le Arusa mi boile. If we're trying to make the Okimta, if we're trying to say the case that Shmuel was discussing was a case where she's the one who wants it and he's the one that's refusing, so then we're not writing about her, we're writing it for her. And if we're writing it for her, it should say Li'arusa. So it's, again, it doesn't fit into the words that Shmuel is saying if that's the case you want Shmuel to be talking about. So the Gemara says, you're right, Holy Kasha Tani Le'arusa. Okay, fine. And you have to change the gears a little bit. It's not a major change. So we could say we heard it incorrectly, but that's really what Shmuel said. Yeah, that's really what Shmuel meant. He was talking about we're going to write it for her, not about her. Okay, fine. So we say, so the Gemara seems to accept this answer, that there's a difference between when she wants to go through the marriage versus if he wants to go through the marriage. So now the Gemara asks, Maishna, now we have to understand what's the difference. We have different cases, so now we're saying that in both cases, according to Shmuel, let's focus on Shmuel's halacha. Because Shmuel's halacha is more complicated, simply because he's making a distinction. In some cases, yes; in some cases, no. He says by the arusa we'll make a big deal, and by the shmeres yavam we don't make a big deal. So if everything is consistent, it's relatively easy to find an explanation. But once you start making distinctions, some cases yes and some cases no, so we have to understand. So what is particular about this case that is driving us to make a big deal about it? So Maishna Shemeres Yavam Duloi. So the Gemara wants to try like this. Why do we say that by the Shemeres Yavam we don't push it? De Amri Non Le Zil Lo Mafgedes. So you say, don't worry about it. If the Shemeres Yavam insists that she wants to do Yibum, we say, don't worry about it. It's not your obligation. It's not your problem that your husband didn't have any children. And if he doesn't want to help out in the situation, don't worry about it. So if that's the reason behind why we don't care and we don't push the Yavam, so Arusanami, name Aleah, name Allah, we could do the same thing. By the Arusa and say, Zil, Lay Mafkedis, you have no Chiyah Pruravu. So what do you care? What are you pushing so hard for that you want to get married? It's the husband who's supposed to be the one who has the Chiyah. And if he's the, right? And if he doesn't want to do it, so we're not gonna help you push on something that is really not, doesn't apply to you as much. If it's your, it's like, if you want to use the example in American society, you don't have standing in court. You don't have standing in court, so we don't even have to listen to your case. But that would be the same thing, would be true by both the Arusa and the Yavam. At least if that's the reason behind why we do push or we don't push, in both of the situations, it's not the girl's chiyuv of Puru Ravu, it's the guy's chiyuv. And if we don't care about her, if we're not worried about her lack of chiyuv, so then we shouldn't care about it in either situation. So the Gemara says, so that can't be the distinction. Elo bevo machmas taino. The reason why we're listening to her is because she has a reason why she personally wants to get married. The Amra, because she says, "Be'ina chutra liyada umara likvura." I want a stick for my hand and a shovel to be buried. Meaning, she wants children so that eventually, when she gets older, she has someone to take care of her. Okay, that's really so. In other words, I don't want children because I want to fulfill the mitzvah of Puruvu. I'm not coming, so to speak, from a religious perspective. I'm coming simply as a practical matter. I want to have children. I want someone. I want to have children. Fulfill my feelings of having children and someone to take care of me. So the Gemara says, if that's the argument and why an Arusa is able to push Bezdin to say, hey, let's take care of this, so Hachanami Shemeres Yavam, B'bal Machmas Tainu. So then the Shemeres Yavam is the same thing. Remember, just because she was in a previous marriage, Lamaisa, it didn't work, and at this point, she doesn't have any children yet. So she comes to Bezdin and says, hey, I want children, help me out here. Which would mean that in the case of Shemeres Yavam, she should equally want that Bezdin should force him to get into the marriage. So now on the second wide line of the Gemara says, "Aidi v'aidi shetavehu." So that tells us that the reasoning that we originally gave, that there's a difference between whether he's the one coming to Bezdin versus she's the one coming to Bezdin, that whole logic doesn't really work. You can't say that the distinction that when sometimes it's Bezdin listens and sometimes Bezdin doesn't listen is depending on who is the one who shows up to Bezdin. So it has to be either Aydivay Shatava who. It has to be the case is that he's always the one coming to Bezdin, and he's the one who's asking Bezdin to push the marriage forward. V'loy kasha. So then, if so, how come Shmuel said that by Shemeres Yavam we don't listen to him? So the Gemara answers, kan lachloitz v'kan liyabe. It depends on what he's asking for. So if he's asking for chalitza, if he's asking for chalitza, so Bezdin's gonna say, okay, let's take care of this. Let's take care of the chalitza. But if he's asking for yibum, we're not going to, as the Gemara will see in a moment, the Gemara is gonna explain why. But when he's asking for yibum, we're not necessarily gonna push that agenda forward. Why? Because we're gonna see in a moment that yibum, when, especially nowadays, even in the times of the Gemara, but certainly nowadays, the Gemara felt that you weren't really doing yibum for the correct altruistic reasons, and therefore yibum that is done incorrectly with the wrong intentions is not considered a really good yibum. So therefore, Bezdin didn't feel the need to push in that direction. If he comes to Bezdin and says, hey, we have a Yibum Chalitza situation and he wants Chalitza, we're gonna force, Bezdin's gonna get involved and push for that. Tova liyavim einis kokin loy. But if he wants to do Yibum, we say, no, Bezdin's not gonna get involved. If you can arrange it, great. If you can work it out, fine. But I'm not going to, Bezdin's not gonna push for that situation. So the Gemara asks, maishno liyavim deloy. So now, the Gemara again, wants to flush this out a little bit, so it tries to give a couple reasons. So again, we have a distinction between, we're always talking about that he's coming to Bezdin. The question is, what does he want? What is he demanding? Depends, is he demanding the chalitza or is he demanding the yibum? And in the yibum situation, we're saying we don't listen to him. Now why? How come we don't listen when he wants yibum? So maishna liyabem, deloi. How come when he comes to Bezdin and says, I want to do yibum, we say, no, thank you. Because we say to him, no problem. If she doesn't want to do the yibum, she doesn't want to get involved. I understand you have a chiyuv pru revu. You have to get, you want children. So fine. There's plenty of fish in the sea. You don't need to marry this girl. If she doesn't want to get together with you, no problem. You'll find somebody else to be mekayim the mitzvah. So if that's the reason, lachloitz nami neimale zilvanosav isazachrita. By chalitza also, why are we pushing it? Why are we pushing that agenda? It's the same thing. Let him go and find another woman that he can get married to, that he could have his children with. So, right, so again, if the point is that you're worried about his connection to these people, so what's the difference? Why do we push chalitza more than yibum? In both of them, it's, we could always tell him, find somebody else. Ella, so why don't we say, go ahead and find somebody else? The Omar, cause he'll say, kivan da agida bi, loikoyov le achriti. Cause he's gonna say, the problem is, right now I am in a yibum situation, I have a shemeres yovum. I have somebody who is waiting to do yibum. And as long as I have somebody who's waiting, I have a connection with one woman, I am not going to get involved with somebody else. So, that's why he's able to say by the Yavam situation that, okay, I gotta do the Yibum because as long as I'm tied to her, I don't really have other options. So the Gemara says, Hachanami, kivin da'agida bei, loika yav le'achriti. So again, you could say the same thing, but why, why, if the argument works for the chalitza, he's able to say, it's not just that I can go marry, I can't marry, you're saying go marry somebody else. I can't marry somebody else because I have a chiv to do chalitza. So by yibum also, this is the same thing. By yibum also, I can't get married to somebody else. I have a chiv to do yibum. So they're really both chalitza and yibum. Again, I know the act is very different and even the result is very different. But the big picture is that I am tied and connected to this woman at the moment, and until I disconnect, whether it's through Yibum or whether through Chalitza, until I make that disconnection, until I separate the two, until I separate, meaning the Yovam and the Yevamo, until I separate the two, he doesn't have any other option. So why would Beis Din listen to one agenda versus the other agenda? The point here is either get me connected with, either make this work out, the Yibum Chalitza work out, or I'm stuck forever. So Beis Din should listen to him in both cases. Hello, so the Gemara says, you're right. So really we're talking about, okay, the Chalitza versus Yibum situation, that is not the distinction, that's not the reason why sometimes yes, sometimes no. Really, we're talking about, he always wants the Yibum. Okay, so what's the difference between Shmuel and the Braisa? V'loi kasha, kan commissioner Rishoino, kan commissioner Achroino. So it depends where we're holding in history. If this is a historical event. Shmuel, of course, which comes later, and he's talking about later in history. But originally, so again, the case is that he really wants to do Yibum. And originally Chazal saw this. I mean, it is a din in the Torah, and Chazal chas v'shalom and that, undermining a din in the Torah. The Torah says you do Yibum, so fine. So Chazal used to push. You want to do Yibum? Let's do Yibum. But eventually Chazal realized, as we mentioned just a few moments ago, Chazal realized that Yibum is a very, very, very high level of, you know, an act of a high level of Kedusha. And if it's not done correctly, the thoughts and the intentions behind doing the Yibum can undermine and make it that you're not really doing Yibum at all. You're ruining the whole thing. And therefore Chazal eventually realized that it's better not to do Yibum at all under almost any circumstance whatsoever, because you're not really going to end up fulfilling the mitzvah of what Yibum is really all about. So Mamela, that's what happened in history. So eventually when Shmuel says we don't listen to him, when he comes in and he's demanding Yibum, Bezin's like, okay, yeah, very nice, but we're not doing that. So that's why we're not going to say she's being a bad girl for not listening to the fact that he's demanding Yibum. We don't do that. And the Gemara says that tonight, it's even in the times of the Mishnayos already, this was an issue. Because it says, originally it says, Mitzvahs Yibum Koidemes LeMitzvahs Chalitza. Originally we thought that if you have a choice between doing Yibum and Chalitza, we're going to push and encourage in the direction of doing Yibum. Because remember, Yibum is a huge mitzvah, we want to do that. Bereshoina, that's what we thought originally, Shayim Iskavnin L'Shem Mitzvah, where Chazal felt that the people doing the Yibum were doing it really L'Shem Mitzvah Yibum, there was no ulterior motives, and they were doing it correctly, so of course to do Yibum in the perfect way is the ultimate, under the circumstances, the ultimate mitzvah. So great, so let's push for a huge mitzvah, we want to push in that direction. However, as the Mishnah itself continues, Achshav she'ein miskaven l'shem mitzvah, but nowadays where they're not really doing the Yibum for the correct, entirely correct reasons, Amru, so they said, now you're not doing Yibum properly anymore, you're really ruining the whole thing. Mitzvah chalitza, kaidemes, the mitzvah Yibum. So therefore, the chalitza agenda is going to be pushed before the Yibum agenda. So, what that means for us as a practical matter is, if a guy comes into Beis Din and says to Beis Din, hey, it's time for me to do Yibum, let's push this along, Beis Din's going to say, no, I don't think so. We're not, and then you're telling me that the wife is being difficult because she's not with the wife. I mean, the Shemeres Yovam is being difficult because she doesn't want to do Yibum. Beis Din's going to say, I understand. That's fine. We're okay with that. Whereas, when a guy comes into Beis Din and says, hey, it's time to do Chalitza, I got to push this thing along because I can't move on in my life until we do Chalitza and separate the two. And so Beis Din's going to say, oh yeah, okay, we're going to get involved over here. We're going to force it. We're going to push it. And to the extent that the wife, the Shemeres Yavim, is refusing to accept the Chalitza, so then Beis Din's going to write an Igeres Merit and going to make a big deal and, you know, make an announcement about the fact that this woman is not doing what she's supposed to do. Why? Because we want to push the Chalitza agenda. And if you say, who cares? We'll just wait it out. No, the guy's able to say, I can't move on with my life. I can't marry another woman, because as long as I'm tied to and connected to this woman, I can't do anything else, so we're allowed to push that agenda further along. The Gemara now quotes the next part of the Mishnah. Masad Poiches, it's really not quoting the whole Mishnah. So it says, until if she's a Mayredes, we slowly but surely reduce from her Ksuba. But in the Mishnah itself, if you recall, the Mishnah said that there's either we reduce it by 7 dinar, and Rabbi Yehuda says by 7 tarpikin. Okay, if she's a Mayredes. And by the way, the flip side is that if he is a Mayredes, because you need to know this for the next line of the Gemara, then if he is the one who's not behaving in the marriage, then we reduce it by 3. And we have the same machlekes, whether it's 3 dinar or 3 tarpikin. What? We add 3, excuse me, we add 3 to the ksuba, correct. Okay, so now the Gemara says, my tarpikin, what is the tarpik? What is that denomination? So Amar Rav Sheshes Astira. It's a coin called an Astira that they were familiar with. So the Gemara says, V'kama Astira. How much is that Astira? How much is it really worth so we can make the calculations? Palga de Zuza. It's a half a Zuz. So we do a half a Zuz worth of a tarpik for every day, essentially. Now, so Tanya Nami Hachi, as the Gemara itself is going to explain, so it's a half a Zuz. Just remember, it's a half. It's a half a coin. So, Tanya Nami Hachi, we learned in a Braisa like that as well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shloisha Tarpikin. He says that we're talking, remember, it's Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah also that says that we reduce it by a tarpik amount, where he says 3 tarpikin, shein tisha ma'in, which is equal to 9 ma'a, which is ma'a v'chetzi l'chol yoim, which would work out to the value of a ma'a v'chetzi for every day. Which is, you know, not a huge amount of money, but it's a significant enough amount of money that we lose out. Now, let's go back, let's focus now on the... As we'll see in a moment, it's 6 days.
One second.
So, but it's 1.5 every day, 1.5 ma every day. So that is times 6 days, because we'll see she loses out one per day, one and a half per weekday. So that's 6 times 1.5. That's a total of 9. That's where you get the 9 ma. That's why Rabbi Yehuda says we're going to get a total of 3 tarpikin a week. Amalei Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef l'Shmuel. Maishna ihu de yavinu lo de Shabbos, u maishna ihi de lo yavinu lo de Shabbos. So again, if you're doing the math, as we just said just a moment ago, that Rabbi Yehuda's cheshbon is that it's 1.5 per day times 6. 1.5 times 6 is 9. And that's why we have 9 ma'in, and that's what she loses. But by that, so that, and that's how he gets to the total number of 3 tarpikin. And that's why, that's what she benefits. So she's only getting reimbursed for every day of the week, but not Shabbos, because we're not multiplying it by 7, we're multiplying it by 6. 6 times 1.5 is 9. Okay. However, when it comes to when she is Mayredes, all of a sudden over there, we're counting 7 tarpikin, which is 1 full tarpik per day. So we do count Shabbos. So what's the difference? How come by her, when he's the problem, we don't punish him for Shabbos doesn't count, it's not a day. But when she is the problem, all of a sudden for her, we calculate it and we take away from her, even on Shabbos. So that's a very simple question. So the Gemara answer is very simple. Ihi de mifchas kapoches loy michsi kischar Shabbos. The issue is whether we can do the calculations on Shabbos, whether we look like we're doing a transaction on Shabbos. So when we're reducing a number, we're not giving anything. So if you're not giving anything, you're just reducing the purchase price. You're just reducing the price. So then, that it doesn't look like Schar Shabbos. It doesn't look like you're doing anything, gaining anything on Shabbos. So that is, therefore, we can calculate that number on Shabbos. Ihu, when he is the problem, the Asufi Koy Moisva, when we're adding onto her Ksuba, and we're giving her more, so now on the top of Samach Dalet Amud Beis, Michsi Kischar Shabbos. It looks like she's earning something for something that has to happen on Shabbos. He's supposed to be doing something, and if he does that, or if he doesn't do that, she gains, she's making money, and you're not supposed to be making money on Shabbos. So therefore, the answer is very simple, that for when we're adding to the Ksuba, that's considered earning money on Shabbos. We don't earn money on Shabbos. When you're reducing, that's not really considered earning anything, so therefore we can calculate Shabbos also, and that's the difference between him and her. It's not. In other words, it's not a difference in the act counts more or doesn't count more. It's a mathematical money issue that we don't deal with money by making money on Shabbos. So Amar Le Reb Chiya Bar Yosef Lishmuel Ma Ben Moirid LeMoiredes. What's the difference? Why by the man are we reducing a full number 7, and by her, if the other way around, by her, if she's not getting what she wants, meaning he's the problem, we're only reducing it by 3. Why are we using different numbers when he's the problem versus when she's the problem? They're both doing the same thing. They're both not behaving in the marriage. So Amalei, so Shmuel answered, no, sorry. Yeah, Shmuel answered, Amalei, so Shmuel answered, say Ulamad, go out and look, Mishuk Shel Zoinis, go and look at the street, look at who needs this marital relations more. Mi Seicheres, me. Who hires who? It's always, for the most part, obviously there's exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, it's the men that are looking for this desire. So, obviously, and the men are willing to pay for this. So we see that it hurts the men. It's something that's more important to the men than for the woman. So therefore, her rebellion is a bigger rebellion than his rebellion. Okay, it's true. She is rebelling and she does deserve what she deserves, but it's not the same value. It's just simply, they're just not the same. And therefore, the knas is a different knas. Then, the Gemara gives another very interesting answer. Davar Acher, another reason why there's a difference is, Ze Yitzra mi bechutz, Vezu Yitzra mi befnim. By the man, if the man is trying to have marital relations and it doesn't work out, it's very embarrassing. Because you could see, it's obvious that this is what he wants, and it's a display, it's a public display, as Rashi says, because the kishui is something that you could see. You could see it. And the fact is that he's disappointed is something that, I don't know who sees exactly, but it can be seen. And therefore, it's a much bigger embarrassment, it's a much bigger disappointment than her. Okay, so she wants it, but nobody really knows nobody really can tell that that's what she wants. So the disappointment is not considered as big a disappointment. So that's the same concept. And therefore, getting in the way of that is less, so to speak, problematic. Okay, that takes us to the Mishnah. I mean, you can put the two concepts really together, but the bottom line is that it affects him more than it affects her, whether it's inwardly or outwardly. But we definitely know it plays a bigger role. It's a bigger disappointment for him than for her. Okay, Zok the next Mishnah. Hamashra es ishtoi al yedei shlish. So here we're talking about, we've gone through so far in this parak the idea, the notion that a husband has to take care of his wife. So now, instead of taking care of his wife directly, he gives the job over to an executor. So somebody else is going to take care of his wife. Mashra means to somebody who prepares a meal for his wife. So al yedei shlish, through a third party, the husband is not going to be there personally to hand to give his wife what she needs. He hires somebody else to do that. So then it says, La yifchas lo mishnei kavin chitin. He has to make sure that he gets nothing less than the value, or literally, two portions of wheat, oy me'arba kavin sa'irin, or 4 portions of barley. Amar Rav Yosef, lo pasak lo sa'irin. We don't allow this idea of giving sa'irin in place of wheat. El Rav Yishmael, only in Rabbi Shmuel's town, he was close, he was lived near the city of Edom. As we'll see in the Gemara, actually, this is a negative, not a positive. That's why he required double the amount of Sa'irin, because the Sa'irin over there were not good. So therefore, it took a double portion to get to the same value. And what else? The Noisin lo chatzi kav kitnias, he has to give her a half a kav of beans. The chatzi lug shemen and a half a lug of oil, the kav gregris and one kav of figs, oy mana devela, or a portion of devela. Devela, the way Rashi learns, is that they used to take these dates and they used to push them together and make what we call a ring of dates. So that also had a value, that was a known amount. Vim ein loy. Now if he doesn't have these specific items, poisikle umas peiros mimokamacher, he replaces for them and he does something else instead of it but something that will replace those things that he needs to give. Okay, so that's in terms of food. The noisin law mito, he has to give her a bed. Mappets is like a mattress. Machzelis is a like hay. Is also is like a mat. One's the soft part, one's the hard part. V'noisin lo kipa l'roisha, gives her a covering for her head. V'chagra l'masnayim, and a belt for her waist. Minalayim, and shoes mimoyed l'moyed, from one for each one of the shalosh regolim. As Rashi, mimoyed l'moyed, Rashi says, for the shalosh regolim, that's specifically talking about the shoes. V'kelim, and he gives her clothing, shel chamishim zuz, mishana l'shana. He has to give 50 zuz worth of clothing for every year. You don't give the new clothing, the heavy wool clothing, in the summer months, because that's not comfortable. You don't give the old clothing in the times of the winter when she needs to be covered and warmer. But rather, the Mishnah is being very clear and very practical. You should give the 50 zuz type of worth of clothing in the winter months where she can clothe herself properly. And then she'll use those same clothing as they're worn out and thinner. She'll wear them in the summer months when it's hotter. And she gets to keep all the old clothing. So in other words, you can't say, well, I'm giving you new clothes, I want the old clothes back. I guess the guy's in the shmata business and wants to sell them to somebody else. No. Whatever she has is hers, she keeps it.
Also,
so in addition, and you also give a ma'a kesef, you give an extra allowance, you give an extra ma'a kesef that she uses for whatever she wants to use. Now this is talking about where, again, the husband is not taking care of her on a regular basis, so he has somebody else making sure she's fed. But he should eat with his wife, even if he's not with her during the week, he should eat together with her on Friday night to be with her. The im ein noisin lo mo kesef letzarcha. Now, all the other things he has an absolute obligation to give her. The mo kesef is extra just for her to use whatever she needs, because the other things you were giving her, she needs. Those are things she needs to sustain herself. But if you're not giving her the mo kesef, so then ma'isi yodeh shalo, then she gets to keep her earnings because she gets to replace that. So as we learned earlier on Daf Nun Tes, and Rashi brings it over here, that when it says she keeps her ma'isi yodayim, that means her moisif ma'isi yodayim, the extra. The basic earnings she gets, he gets, because he's, according to, it was a machlekes amaroim. But the basic earnings he gets because he's giving her mazonis, and the ma'al kesef was for the extra. So for the extra, she gets to keep her extra earnings. Okay, umahi oisoloi, and what work does she have to do for him? Mishkal chamesh sloim, she has to do the weight of 5 sloim. Shasi bihuda, which is in a loom, the warp. Shahain eser sloim bigalil, which is worth 10. It's the same amount, but in Galil it was double the amount. Oy mishkal eser sloim orev, or she can, if she doesn't want to do the shasi, which is harder, she could do the orev, which is easier, but then she has to do 10 salah worth over there, bihuda. Shahain esrim sloim bigalil, which again, everything in Galil was double, is 20 in Galil. Vim hoisa maniko, if she is nursing, so she's busy, then the expectation is that she's going to be doing less work. She doesn't have to work as much. And just the opposite, the husband has to give her more food, because nursing takes more energy, it takes more calories, so he has to give her more food to make it up for her. And all of these numbers that we're talking about is Ba'ani Shevi Yisrael. That's talking about where you have nothing, where you want to know what the minimum is. All these numbers we just gave are the minimum of what a husband has to give to his wife. Ava b'mechubid, but if he's a respectable person, akol lefik foidoy, then it goes according to what his respect is. Because as we learned already a few times in this mesechta, that the wife goes, as oyla imoy, the wife goes up with him. So if he's a more respectable person, then she gets better. If he doesn't have, so this is the starting point. This is the base where we start from. Okay, that's all of that was the Mishnah. So the Mishnah very clearly lays out a very precise amount that a husband has a chiyuv. That would be considered the minimum for what the wife needs in order to sustain herself for the week, by the way. Or where it says specifically, for the clothing is the year and so on and so forth. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Zok to Gemara. Money mas nisin. However, all these numbers don't work out. Who would be the Tana of our Mishnah? Loi Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereka v'loi Rabbi Shimon. When we're doing the calculations of how much she needs, obviously, so as I said, the food that we were discussing, the two kav of chitin, is for the week. Okay, even though the Mishnah didn't say it, but that's what we meant. It's for the week because it says that she's going to eat with him on Shabbos. So she starts over every week. So that is based on a calculation. Two kav, that means you have to take two kav and break it up into, well, we'll see whether we're talking about 12 meals or 14 meals or whatever. We have to break it up into a number of meals so that she has enough food to eat throughout the week. So this doesn't work, this calculation doesn't work according to the Amoraim that we're the Tanoim that we're familiar with, the Tanan. Because we have a Mishnah that explains how much a person eats per meal. The Kama Shi'uri Mozen Shtei Sudais, this happens to be talking about in Hilchos Erevin, that you have to put two meals worth of food in order to create an Erev. And the meals that we're referring to are meals that you would eat on Shabbos. So that's the calculation of two meals. So you have to have two meals worth. L'chol echad ve'echad. Right? For each. Shtei sudas l'chol echad ve'echad. For each one. Mezoinoi l'chol v'loi l'Shabbos. Divrei Rav Meir. So Rav Meir says, it's the amount of food that you would eat, two meals worth that you would eat on a weekday. Because Rav Meir, as we'll see in a moment, because Rav Meir held that you ate more on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer l'Shabbos v'loi l'chol. He said just the opposite. You ate more on during the weekday. On Shabbos, there was a very set amount on what you would actually eat. As the Mishnah itself continues, v'zeh v'zeh miskaven and l'hokol, and each one is trying to get to the smaller amount. They're referring to the amount that you eat less. That's because we're talking about an Erev. We're talking about the minimum amount that you need to put up as a suda for an Erev to count as an Erev, chatzeres, Erev tchumim, and so on. Okay, now, continuing in the, this is still the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika Omer, Kikar halakuach bepunjoin me'arba so'in l'sela. This is now the calculation of whether we're doing two meals and what the smaller amounts are. It's based on a loaf of bread that you would pay in a punjoin, which is a total of 4 so'in per sela. Okay, so it's, in other words, it's the number 4. Rav Shimon Omer Shtei Yadois L'Kikar. No, it's two portions. Mishalosh Kikar is the Kav, where you would, instead of buying 4 loaves, right? That instead of buying 4 loaves, you would buy 3 loaves. L'Kikar, Kikar is the Kav. Okay. Another. So again, it's a question of when I have a dollar, how many loaves of bread can I buy for the dollar? Can I buy 2 loaves of bread to the dollar or 3 loaves of bread to the dollar? So obviously, when I say that, when I say, if I'm only buying 2 loaves of bread to the dollar, that means, and I'm buying a dollar is supposed to last me a day, so the question is, how many loaves of bread am I eating per meal? So again, if a dollar buys me, let's call them 2 bagels. A dollar buys me 2 bagels, so, and each bagel is a meal, so then, fine. So then I know each meal is a bagel. If I'm buying 3 bagels, that means each meal is a bagel and a half. So that's how you get to the numbers of, so that's why we see that there's a very specific calculation of how much each meal is worth. But let's just finish the Mishnah before we go into the math. Chatzia lebeis hamenuga. So whatever the numbers are for a su'uda, we have to know also when a person goes into a house that has a nega on it, a tzaras, or something like that. So the halacha is that just walking into the house for a second is not going to make you tummy. You have to be in the house the amount of time that it would take you to eat a meal. Now we need to know how big that meal is in order to know how long that takes. A bagel takes, 2 minutes. A bagel and a half takes 3 minutes. Whatever it is, that's how long you have to be in the house before you become tired. So it's half of a sa'uda. So it's a half a bagel. And then the chatzi chatziya lifsolas agviya. And also, if you want to know, when I eat tame food, how much food do I need to eat? If I just take one bite, that's not going to make me tame. But if I eat a half of a meal, then that's a pras. So then that is the, if once I eat that amount, I become tame and I'm not allowed to eat truma anymore. The chatzi chatziya and a half of that half, lekabel tumas oichlin, is the amount of food. How big of a piece of food is it? That, right, how big is the slice of pizza that it itself is considered tummy? If you just have a crumb on the table, crumb is not going to become tummy. You can't make a crumb of bread tummy. It has to be at least a half, whatever that is, a half a piece of pizza, a half a piece of whatever we're talking about over here. That's the minimum amount that the size of the food in order for it to become tummy. Now, back to the math, which we're not going to go through all the calculations exactly of the math, but let's just get the point. Money. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah said that you're going to use Shnei Kavin, 2 kav worth of chitin, for a whole week. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, you use his calculation was a kikar, one loaf of bread. So one loaf of bread for six days is going to add up to eight loaves for the entire week. So it should really be, or eight, for each one is a kav. So you really need eight. You should need 8 kav because our Mishnah said you only need 2. The problem is these numbers don't work at all based on if you do the big picture math. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, it should be 8 kav. The Rabbi Shimon Tamni Sri Hav, it should be 18. Because remember, Rabbi Shimon is the bigger shear. Because he says you eat 3 loaves of bread on Shabbos, not just 2. Okay, so who is the Tana of our mission that says 2 kav is enough? So the Gemara says, La'olam Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika. It really is Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika. Ukuda'am Rabbi Chista, and the way Rabbi Chista explains him, which is, Seimehen Shlish Lechen Bani. So the reason is like this. The reason why Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika's number is so high is because that 8 is because he's including the cost of that, what I have to pay the baker. Because what they used to do in those days, people didn't have their own private ovens. What they used to do is they used to bring the flour to the baker. In other words, like construction, I buy the materials, you do the work. So the baker used to work that way also. I buy the materials, I used to give the baker flour, and then the baker would bake cake, but he would take some of my flour and use it for his own purposes. That's how they used to pay them. So if you add a third of that amount, so it cost me 8 kav to bring it to the baker, but I'm only getting back really 5.5, because a third of 8 is going to be used to pay the chenvani. Okay. So the Gemara says, fine. Hachanami, I see Tilsa. So fine, you want to add an extra third. Shadi alayu akati tarti sri havin. So that would still be, even if you want to add another third, so then that would be 12. Okay, so it would be 12, which would mean that you need 12, that this is the amount that you have to give her, so it still doesn't add up. It doesn't add up to the 2 kav that we're talking about. So the Gemara said 12, which would mean you give 1 kikar per meal. So the Gemara says, the answer is, Eichelis Imei Leil Shabbos. That's because we're not talking about 7 days a week. You're not giving her enough meals for 14 meals. And so you're really only giving her 12 meals worth. That's what the Gemara is saying. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, you should need 12 meals worth, and we need 14 meals. So 2 kav should have added up to 14 meals. So the Gemara's answer is, no, Shabbos doesn't count. We only need to give her food, enough food for what she needs for the weekday, because she eats with her husband, so her husband's going to carry the cost directly of the food on Shabbos. However, the Gemara says, "Henich leman diomar achila mamish." So if when we say that the husband has to eat with her on Shabbos is talking about food, so fine. So then the math works out in terms of the dollar amounts of the food. El leman diomar achila tashmish. But the one who says that the word achila, when it says the husband eats with her on Shabbos, doesn't mean that he's eating with her. It's not referring to the food. It means the fact that he's going to be with her. He has to hang out with her on Friday night. She still has to come up with the food. So where is she coming up with the food for? There's a shortage over here. She only has 12 meals worth for 14 days, for 14 meals. So my ikalameimer, how do you explain the math? Void. And anyway, tleisar have, it should be 13, not 14. So fine, whatever. Either way, the math doesn't work to get to 12 meals. Elo k'da'amar av chisto, so rather you have to say, seimehen mechso lechanvani. We're not talking about that you add a third of the value. We're talking about that you have to add a half the value to the chanvani. Now, if you add a half to 8, 8 plus 4 is 12, so you get, no, sorry, half, so 8 plus 4, so really you're supposed to be adding 6. 6, because 8 plus 4 is 12, and so that's the full amount, but you need half to the chenvani, so half of 12 is 6, and that's where you get to, and that's how you get to 14. 14 chenvani. So the Gemara says, Hachanami, Asya Palgav, Shadi Alayu. So fine, so then over here also you have to add on half of that number to the, Okay, so the Gemara says, Kasha de Rav Chista de Rav Chista. But either way, before Rav Chista said you're giving a third, and now Rav Chista is saying you're giving half. So make up your mind. What number is correct? The Gemara answers like, Kasha, Haba Asur de Yav Tzivi, Haba Asur de Lo Yav Tzivi. So, again, when we said before, you're paying the baker for the material, you're giving him the materials, there's other materials also. You need the wood for the fire. Who's supplying the wood? When I supply the wood, I only have to pay him a third of my flour. When I don't supply the wood and the baker brings the wood also, so then I have to pay him half of my flour. That's the value. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, but if we do the math, ihachi shitzrei haven. So if so, we're talking about 17. It's we're still, wait, the math doesn't work. So the Gemara answers, "Kaman kider Rav Chitka, to Amar arba seudos chayv adam lechol b'Shabbos." So when we talk about 17, so when we talk about 12 over here, or 14, we're talking about that was, again, it's all based on the calculation of how many loaves of bread a person eats. Or how much of a loaf of bread does a person eat on Shabbos? Do they eat a third of the loaf? Did they eat a half a loaf? But if you hold that you still only need two loaves of bread for Shabbos, and you eat four meals, then it's very clear that you're only eating very clearly a half a loaf of bread per meal. Okay? So since we're doing a half a loaf of bread per meal, so then on Hanami, the two kavan is going to be enough. So now that we're saying that, filu tamer rabbonon. So now you could say that it could work even according to the Rabbanon. Dal chodo la'archi uparchi. So, because what was the question? The question before, based on the math we said before, it should really add up to 13 kikarets. You should really have 13 loaves. So what do you do? If it's really a half a loaf per day, so 6 loaves divided by 2 is 12. So that gives you the 12 meals during the week. What do you do with 13? The math doesn't work. So he says the answer is the extra loaf of bread is for your guests. So the Gemara says, Hashad osas la'archi. Once we're saying that we're adding for the guests, afilu tamer Reb Shimon, so we can even say we can even go according to Reb Shimon Shita l'Rabbonon. It could be because Reb Shimon Shita was way off. Reb Shimon was 18 kav. So we say according to Reb Dal Tlas l'Archi Uparchi. So you just add a third or three that go to the guests. We were saying till now one loaf of bread was going to the guests. Now we say three loaves of bread goes to the guests, which actually makes sense. Three loaves over the course of a week is a number of guests. Okay, the Rav Chidko Dal Tarti L'Archi Parki. And again, if you want to make the, and if you're eating four meals on Shabbos, so then according to Rav Chidko, that is the, again, you're giving two of those loaves of bread. So even though it's a lot, but you're giving two of the four loaves, you're giving them to guests, and two of the loaves you're eating for yourself, or one loaf you're eating for yourself, divide that by four, it comes out that you're only eating a quarter of a loaf, and then the math is going to work. I apologize for not going into the specifics of the math, because this is too quick. But anyway, the bottom line is that you have to divide up the loaves of bread per meal on Shabbos, and figure out how much you're buying, how much that loaf of bread costs, and then it works out that that's how much you spend per day on two meals a day. Okay, so we'll leave it at that, and we'll just learn two more lines in the Gemara, and we'll stop. Amar Rabbi Yosef leposek sa'irin. So we said that Rabbi Yosef in the Mishnah said either you give two kav of wheat or four kav, double the amount of barley. But they said that's only according for Rabbi Shmuel, because he lived next to Edom. What's the significance of living next to Edom? So the Gemara says Ela ba'Edom. Who the achli sa'irim? It's only because they live in Edom, they eat barley. The kulei amel lo yachli, but nowhere else they don't eat barley anywhere else in the world. What does the Edom have to do? His location have to do with how much sa'irim you have to give? So the Gemara says, you're right. That's not the point. Hachi ka omar. What he meant to say is like this: like posak sa'irim kaflayim bechitin ela l'Rabbi Yishmol. Ela Rabbi Yishmol. So, because the Mishnah makes it sound like a regular statement, it says it's two kav, two for wheat, four for barley. So it sounds like barley is always double wheat. So it says no. So what Rabbi Yosef was coming to explain was that it was only for Rabbi Yishmol that you have to, the math had to work out to a full double. Why? Shayasamach le'Edom, because he lived near Edom. Mipnei she'sa'irin adumiyos ru'uesin. Because the barley, it's not the wheat, the barley rather, the barley that grew in the location near Edom was very bad. It was a very poor quality of barley. So since it's a poor quality, therefore you need to double. So what the Mishnah was really, by the end of the day, was saying, really, it's not really double for, even though the Mishnah says you have to give double, it's only talking about in locations similar to Rabbi Yishmael, who had very poor quality barley, so therefore then you you do have a quality issue, you have to double it. But Anachanami, for the rest of the world, which of course if you want to give barley, then you just have to give the equivalent of whatever two kav of wheat is, and that will suffice. It doesn't necessarily have to be literally double. Okay, we'll stop over here, we'll pick up with this point next time, Ritz Hashem.